Welcome to Punches and Punchlines, where we break down the best in boxing with a sense of humor. And now, your hosts, Fritz and Franco.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this episode. It's probably been a little while since you heard from us. To make up for that, we're gonna double up this week. We had a little bit of a production snag on last week's episode covering the fights from May 13th. First, we're going to drop the May 20th episode, you know, covering Lomachenko versus Haney and Taylor versus Cameron. And then shortly after that, in the next day or so, you should see Maloney versus Astrolabio and Janabak fought Stephen Butler. Now Butler is looking into taking a job as a butler because boxing wasn't for him. But yeah, we had plenty to talk about this weekend. A good card in Ireland with Katie Taylor as the main event. And then in Las Vegas, Devin Haney took on Vasily Lomachenko. And I'm ready to get into both of these.
Yeah, let's go ahead and dive on in.
Katie Taylor, 36 years old, coming in at 22-0, versus Chantel Cameron, 32 years old, coming in at 17-0. Now, here's my favorite part of this, Franco.
Okay.
That this was a good fight,
yeah,
with action throughout, and the right person won. Okay. They didn't home cook this one. This is the first time we've seen Katie lose, and in defeat, she was still gracious,
mm-hmm,
you know, still thanked everybody in the crowd. There's a reason why she's absolutely one of my favorites. She's technically so sound. It's a joy to watch her box because there's no holes in her game. Now, with that being said, is she as fast as she was when we first started covering her fights? No, she is not. But, you know, Father Time's undefeated, and so is Mother Time, because everybody slows down. She's still, even if she's not at the top of her game anymore, she's still at the top of the boxing game for women. Like, she's still supremely talented, didn't hold back anything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think she has to sit and go like, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that. I think both girls just went all out and really gave a treat to the fans.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was an amazing fight. Like, the amount of action in this fight, and it happens with the men and with the women, but there's a lot of, when you get like further down the card with the women, where some of the fights, they're just not landing with power or they're not landing cleanly. And that was not the case with this fight. Like, their shots were so goddamn hard that,
right,
I thought someone was going to get knocked out. And I think my favorite part was that this was the first time that Katie Taylor was fighting at home in Ireland. And we've seen this before where somebody fights in front of their hometown crowd. And I don't know if it's the pressure, if it's from being too comfortable or what the case can be. But a lot of times people will fight in front of the hometown crowd and they don't put up their best performance. And I don't know that I can say that Katie Taylor didn't put up her best performance, because she did great. Like, the best performance that she could do at her current age and everything. Like, you know, how she is right now, she put forth an amazing effort. I think the biggest L on this fight was whoever did Katie's hair. I can't remember the last time we saw somebody's hair come undone. So Katie had it pulled back, not in pigtails, but two braids running over the top of her head. In the good box
of braids, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then one side came undone and just kept getting poofier and poofier, and it was blocking her vision. You know, usually somebody has their vision blocked from a punch and a cut to the eye or some kind of swelling. Nope, it was Katie's hair was just flopping all over the place. I kind of felt bad. It was like, somebody tie that down, get a bobby pin, something. Right. You know, one of those alligator clips, just clip it in the back. But otherwise, I kept thinking during the fight, oh my God, I think Cameron is going to take this. But it feels really close, because Katie was landing some really clean shots that I thought could put Cameron down. And I was like, oh, that might be enough for the referees to kind of give her some of those rounds. The one judge had it as a draw. And I was like, oh, here we go. Like, the fixes. And then, nope, it was for Chantel Cameron. She ended up taking the whole thing. And I think it was well-deserved, because as much as I wanted to give it to Katie Taylor, I kept giving rounds to Chantel Cameron. I felt like I was finding excuses to give them to Katie Taylor.
Right. It was just really a fun boxing match. Another one of those ones where when it was over, I was like, oh, I'm glad that I resubscribed for DAZN. These are the fights that I'm like, all right, this is worth it. I don't know if it's going to be worth it when they bumped it again after I'd already re-upped. But we have, 7 months before we have to worry about that. You know, kudos to Katie, kudos to Chantel on having this fight. I think it sucks that it seems more and more likely that we're never going to see Serrano versus Taylor 2.
Yeah.
I think that that's a pipe dream at this point. I don't know whether, Jake and Eddie just aren't getting along anymore, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. They're supposed to be an immediate rematch for this. I would love to see the rematch at 135, Let Cameron come down a couple pounds. Katie can fight at her normal weight and let's see what happens there. You know, we already saw it at 140. Let's see it at 135.
I would have one stipulation. It has to be fought at Chantel Cameron's home turf in England, because I haven't seen that many sad Irish people since the Southside Parade here in Chicago got canceled for a couple of years. They were so bummed when they announced those scores. You could see their hearts just shattering. They were like Ralph Wiggins when Lisa breaks up with them and you see his heart breaking. It was hard to watch. And so, yeah, I think a rematch, do it in London or whatever. And I think it would be a great rematch. And maybe Katie Taylor could have her revenge, but she is 36. Granted, that's not end of the road, but a lot of the good female boxers are kind of up there in age. And like you said, Father Time always remains undefeated.
Vasily Lomachenko, 35 years old, coming in at 17-2 versus Devin Haney, 24 years old, coming in at 29-0. Now, I'll tell you this, Franco, on this fight, I had it 7-5 Lomachenko, all right? Okay. And I circled a few rounds that I was like, I have it going Lomachenko. I'm confident in Lomachenko, but I could also see that it was close. So anybody that was talking robbery after this one, I don't agree with robbery. Like, I saved that category for all the judges just got it plain wrong. This, I could see their argument for Haney winning. I disagree with them 100%. I definitely believe that Lomachenko won this fight.
Okay.
But I could see how somebody from a different angle or one of the judges, I could see their scores. Mm-hmm. So except for the guy that gave, round 10 to Devin Haney, that was the one. I mean, that was the one round in this fight that there was zero doubt at all who won. There was some other rounds that were clear cut for a guy, but round 10 was dominant by Lomachenko.
Yeah.
And for that dipshit to give it to Devin Haney, it's like he had the wrong names in the wrong places. You know what I mean? Like, maybe he thought that Lomachenko won too. And he's like, oh shit, I was writing down for the wrong scorecards. But now he's just too embarrassed to fucking admit it.
Could you imagine if somebody actually did that? Like, they just totally scored it wrong. And then like when they announced their score, they're like, no, other way around.
Right.
My bad. Sorry.
Oh shit. I had the trunk colors wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of disagree, but I kind of agree. So 10, 11, 12, all three rounds for sure went to Lomachenko. Like, he was on fire towards the end of that fight. But I was also being reminded of when he lost to Teofimo. And this was, I felt like it was the same thing where it's like, dude, you got to do a little bit more than that to get points during these rounds. Like, every round counts individually, but they all count the same when it comes to the final score. And so I agree. I think the one score was 116-112. That one was ridiculous.
Right.
114-114 was a draw. I could see that one. And then the last one was how I had it, 115-113 for Haney. It's a one round swing, right? From a draw. So I felt like that was correct. But yeah, the one scorecard, I was like, what the fuck? Like, it doesn't make any sense, but boxing's gonna boxing. So I didn't feel like it was a robbery. I had it scored that way, but the entire time I thought it was gonna go the other way towards Loma. So I had it scored for Haney, but I was like, oh shit, like, I could see how it's gonna go towards Loma, especially towards the end of the fight. It kind of had that feel. But all those early rounds, I don't know, Loma's just got to come out blazing from the beginning or something, maybe warm up more so he comes in hotter. But this is twice now that it's happened where he takes his time and then presses on the gas late, but then ends up losing on the cards to a really good fighter. Like, maybe kick him in the dick in the second round.
Maybe you were having Loma fight Loma, because in the earlier rounds, there were some rounds that he definitely outlanded Haney, you know, so I don't know that he took a long time to get started in this one. You know, like I definitely gave the first, fourth, sixth, seventh all to Haney. You know, like I thought 2-3 was good work by Lomachenko, you know, so I don't, that's why I'm just saying, like, I don't think he started slow. I'm in disagreement with the judges, but I could see where they had it, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't a robbery, maybe a swindling. But it's one of the not a problem, but it's one of the things that happens when something goes to the cards. It's up in the air, which is why we love a great knockout, because then there's no question about it. It's like, oh no, he put that dude down on the mat, which happened in a lot of the other fights that we'll get into,
right,
for playing boxing. But as far as this fight went, you know what? It's not like Loma lost to some bum. No. It's not like he lost to somebody that, you know, we hate. I love both these boxers, and I think there's still money to be made off of Loma. So, like, not having the belts, it's kind of like The Undertaker. He doesn't need the belt because he's still an exciting enough fighter and a big enough name that he's going to sell tickets. So I think both guys still have a nice road ahead of them, hopefully.
Without a doubt, Lomachenko is still must-watch TV. As long as Devin Haney has all four of these belts, he's going to have people that want to fight him. I don't know whether he stays at 135 and he fights Shakur Stevenson. He seemed to want no part of that. As soon as Stevenson stepped in the ring, he had other places to be. He's like, oh, I got that appointment back in my dressing room. You know, I watched ESPN do picture-in-picture of stuff in the back room that I want to watch.
Yeah, it looked exciting back there.
So, yeah, I'm not sure what's next for either of these dudes. I would love to see a rematch, you know, but I don't think that we're going to get it. I personally would love to see Lomachenko, instead of fighting at 135, which is kind of a step above where he really should be, I'd love to see him go to 130 and just clean house there, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why he doesn't want to go, because I don't think he sees a challenge for himself there. But I bet there's some 130-pounders that disagree and would love the shot at it. I think these dudes should move weight classes, both of them. You know, Haney move up to 140, Lomachenko go down to 130. There's so many dudes at 135 that even if both of these dudes left, it's still probably the hottest division.
Yeah, and that might be the problem why these guys want to fight at that level, is because that's where the money is. There's big names. Right. To fight against each other. So everybody bang with each other and cash in as much money as they can get. And to be honest, I can't be mad at them for that.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. We certainly do appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for your patience. To reward your patience, we're going to drop a second episode this week. Like we mentioned at the top of the show, we had some fun breaking down that Top Rank card from May 13th. So, you know, give that a listen. Tell your friends about it. There was some fun stuff on these undercards, Franco. Now, I watched, you know, most of the undercard and the Before the Bell out in Ireland. And there was good fights. You know, there was good fight. That co-main event with Gary Cully was not how I was expecting that to go. Each one of these undercards had like a knockout of the year candidate.
Yeah, I was expecting. So Gary Cully is the diva. We've talked about him plenty of times on this show, where he comes out with pink and, you know, big feather boas. And the whole thing is like, oh, look, I'm breaking gender barriers or whatever. And it's cool. Like, it's cool.
He's
it's
fun.
Kind of, yeah, it's like a boxing Ric Flair. It's ridiculous. And he's all tatted up. He's a good looking dude. And you kind of want to cheer against him. But in the fights that we've seen him in, he's great. And unfortunately for him, Jose Felix was way better, because did he put him down 3 times total in that third round?
Yes. The first one, he was not right after the first one, you know, but he got up each time. And then I think before he got knocked down the third time, his corner had already called it off.
Yeah.
But he was getting beat and the ref didn't see the towel come in.
Yeah.
It's like, they got to have some kind of better system, you know, like an air horn, you know, just to save your dude. Like yeah. your ship's too close to the shore, you know, like that kind of fog horn. Just like, stop this shit, please. You know?
Yeah, it was hard to watch the referee not stopping it, because he had let it go for way too long to begin with, where Cully is just getting battered around the ring. He'd already gone down twice, getting his ass beat. He's not defending himself. He's eating all these punches, and they throw in the towel, and he's still letting it go.
Right.
So he's getting abused even more. And they did. They had to have like multiple dudes jump up onto the apron and start yelling at the referee, who was maybe 3 inches away from from Cully getting his face pounded in. It's the only reason he didn't see the towel come in. It should have been stopped. It was a little bit ridiculous that it wasn't. And I'm just glad that it seemed like Gary Cully was okay afterwards. But man, it was brutal. If anybody has time, YouTube it, because it's kind of like watching Ric Flair lose. Like, it was kind of fun, but I'm still a Gary Cully fan, and I'll still be rooting for him in the future.
Yeah, without a doubt, I'm a fan of his. And he was on Twitter today, you know, letting everybody know that he's fine.
Nice.
Thanks for the support. You know, he came in undefeated. He didn't leave that way, but that's all right. A loss doesn't make you a lost cause. So I'm sure that we're going to see him again. He's a fun boxer that I'm looking forward to seeing again. I can't say that anything else on that undercard was like, oh, we got to talk about this.
Yeah.
But there was a few things on the Top Rank card that I did want to discuss. Now,
I hear you loud and clear. You're ready for a half hour breakdown of Nico Ali Walsh.
Yeah, he didn't get the win. I didn't watch that fight, but I saw that it went to a draw.
Yeah, it was so bad.
Now, did you watch the fight?
Unfortunately, I did, only because I get suckered in by the name an idiot every time.
Did he get awarded the draw, or was it literally a draw?
I think, man, it felt right. It wasn't that great of a fight. He might have been awarded the draw a little bit, because Danny Rosenberger was just kind of taking his opportunity, his chance to just lay it all out there, because he was on TV. So he's like, screw it, here we go, I'm going to shoot my shot. And he shot his shot. He had a good fight. Nico Ali Walsh definitely needs to continue working on his game. They were saying during the fight, the stuff that his corner was yelling at him, stuff that he was doing wrong, they've been yelling that at him for weeks in training, because it's Nico Ali Walsh. And so, you know, their whole thing is that they follow him around. ESPN records everything he does, right? The poor kid. So they were basically saying, yeah, we were following him, and this is what they were telling him to work on, and now he's getting his ass beat because of it. But it was a good fight. But yeah, some of the other fights on that undercard were good.
Oscar Valdez came back in this fight, Franco. It was one-sided and still kind of a good fight. If that makes any sense. Like, the rounds were competitive, but he was still, each one of the rounds he was winning were close rounds, you know, like, that's the best way I could put it, that this was one-sided for Valdez. But our best buddy, Tessitore, kept saying like, oh, there's that left hook. But for some reason in this fight, the left hook wasn't landed with as much power. I wonder what happened to the power in his left hook. Maybe something changed in his diet, Franco, or something like that.
Oh, did he get popped for something?
Oh, a while back, yeah.
So, oh, okay, a while back.
Yeah, but
I thought more recently. I'm like, wait a minute.
He got interviewed and cried in the interview, so people believe that it was all a mistake, Franco. I'm not one to speculate, but I don't know if I believe him. So
come on, Fritz, you've never gotten busted for steroids before a comedy tour.
Exactly. But the fight of that, the other knockout of the year contender, was Andrew Maloney.
Yeah.
Getting knocked out in the 12th too. Like, this dude made him put in all the work, like make it all the way to the 12th. And he knew he was losing, but he was just like, I'm making it to the final bell. Maybe I can land that one magic shot. And then he gets the one magic shot landed on him.
Yeah.
And just, oh man, crumbles like a goddamn brick wall. It was frightening, to watch. You're like, oh shit, he's, wow. Like, that's one of those knockouts.
Yeah. Well, he had gone down twice. He went down early in the fight, and then he went down, I think, in the 11th, right before that 12th round, he went down. But he popped up and he seemed okay. But yeah, that knockout, he went straight through the ring and popped out in Australia, because that was a brutal knockout. It landed perfectly. Nakatani was just a monster. And I know there's already a Japanese monster, so we can't say that. But I'm just saying, you know, don't mess with the Japanese fighters. They will bend your legs in weird directions. And that's exactly what happened here, because Maloney, his feet stayed planted and his body hit the ground, and then his feet like kicked out from under him, both of them at the same time. It was a really rough knockout to watch. And again, glad that he's okay, because this was another one where you jumped out of your seat when it happened, because it was such a brutal knockout.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I thought for a minute, I'm like, well, maybe he was so tired because he just won a belt the week before. But then I do remember that I have now finally seen Jason and Andrew in the same room together. So they're not the same person like I was speculating for quite a while.
Fake news.
So that was just me. Overall fun weekend of boxing. I was happy to pay my pay-per-view on ESPN Plus. Next weekend, we got kind of a full lineup too. DAZN launches like a prospect night on Fridays. There'll be one in Orlando, Florida. So I'll check out that action. And then May 27th over from Manchester, England, Mauricio Lara is taking on Lee the Perm Wood. so we'll see how that one plays out. Lara knocked him fucking silly in their original fight. And I really expect the same thing to happen this time around. And again, over the pond on May 27th on ESPN Plus, Mick Conlon takes on Luis Alberto Lopez. That should be fun. And then we actually get a bonus card on DAZN Saturday night for us, Alexis Rocha versus Anthony Young.
Yeah.
So that plenty of boxing to cover next weekend. There's also a card over in Canada on DAZN. So yeah, we're going to have a lot to check out. If anybody out there looked at next week's schedule and they're like, oh, nobody's talking about this dude, but you need to watch him, you know, reach out to us. Let us know what we might be missing, just for the sake of talking about it. I'll believe that this fight when it actually happens, Franco, but it was announced today that July 29th will be the date for Spence versus Crawford.
Huh.
Now, again, I'll believe it when the opening bell rings, but that was the date that's being discussed. We'll see whether it actually happens.
Yeah, I hope so, because lately these super fights have actually been coming through for us. So fingers crossed, light a candle, do a sacred dance, whatever everybody believes in. But let's pray that we get some more super fights, because they really are fun. But also it gives a nice little shine on these undercard fighters. And then that's how we end up finding our next favorite fighter, our next favorite guy to root for, the next Nico Ali Walsh, Fritz's favorite fighter. Right. He mumbled that to me before the show started, and I was like, I don't see what you're seeing, but whatever you say, Fritz. But yeah, no, there's four different cards. So yeah, if anybody knows of anything way down on those cards that we should be looking for, those are always fun to be able to like fast forward or rewind and find it, because everything is streaming. But four cards, that's what, 20 hours worth of boxing to try to get through?
Yeah. Give us some Easter eggs, people. Yeah. I don't know. If you don't have anything else, Franco, I'm throwing in the towel.
Thank you for listening to Punches and Punchlines. Make sure to like, subscribe, and follow. And we'll see you next week when we break down the best in boxing with a sense of humor.